Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
So glad to meet with you once again, wherever you are in the world. And we thank the Lord for you listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful day. And we're here with another program, Where is God's Word? And we hope that as we get into the program, that some of you will call, tell if you're a Bible believer, or even if you disagree with what we say, that'd be interesting. We'll be glad to discuss it in a honorable way. And so we have a nice day in Cleveland. It's getting warmer here a little bit, and my cough seems to be in abeyance. And so we hope that today we can bring an interesting program. I want to start off today and talk about some of the prophecies in the Bible about the time of the second coming of Christ. And God writes this Bible as if it's already happened. I mean, he makes just plain statements without big fanfare, and just makes a statement. And when you read it, you pick these diamonds and rubies and so on out as you're reading the Bible that he puts in there for our interest. But the Bible teaches that right before Christ comes back, that there's going to be a antichrist, there's a substitute Christ, an individual who claims that he is Christ on earth. And he will go to Jerusalem and sit in the temple of God and say that he is God. And there's many descriptions of him. And one of the interesting things I find about him in the book of Revelation, it states this, that actually it's saying that he will speak English. Now you say, where you get that? Well, I'm glad you ask. It says that he will speak with the mouth of a lion. And in that chapter, it takes the symbols for some of these governments. For instance, the bear is referring to Russia. The lion is referring to England. You know, we have the eagle for America and so on. These different countries have symbols and that represent them. And so the lion represents England, and it says he will speak with the mouth of a lion. And that's telling us that he will speak basically English, because the lion, they speak English in England. And in line with this, we see that this prophecy is about to be fulfilled, because you see, worldwide today, English is the universal language. And I believe that most large cities of the world, probably around one-third, one out of every three people could probably talk to you in English. It's being taught in almost every country in the world. It becomes the financial language, the trade language, the scientific language, all of this. And so the world is coming together. But the Word of God says that this individual called the Antichrist, he will speak with the mouth of a lion. In other words, he will speak English. And there we have another prophecy. This Bible is supernatural, and it shows it and demonstrates it in so many different ways. And the Bible talks about it in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, that this person called the Antichrist will come out of Rome. It says, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, the Romans destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD. So the prince that is talking about, the Antichrist that will come, will come from the city of Rome. And not only that, it says he will sit in the temple of God, as claiming that he is God. It's interesting that Pope Pius XI said that everyone should recognize him as God on earth. And even if he is recognized as Christ, Christ is God. And so that's another interesting prophecy. We have an individual in Rome that claims to be Vicar of Christ, that substitute Christ. And so we have another interesting thing. It says he'll come out of Rome. And it's interesting that in the Zohar, which is a book of Kabbalism that many Jews follow, in there it says that the Messiah will come out of Rome in that book. But that is not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not coming out of Rome. He's transferring the capital of the world from other places to the city of Jerusalem. And so he's coming out of Bethlehem. He came out of Bethlehem. He will not come out of Rome. But yet the Zohar says this. And I talked to a Jewish person one time that told me about that, you know. And that's not all. And it talks about, it says that this individual, the prince, shall come. In Daniel chapter 9, it says he will confirm the covenant with Israel. And that is a treaty to protect Israel. And the covenant has already been made with Europe. They made a covenant to protect Israel. I don't know if you know about it, but I read it. I heard it on the news some months ago. And the individual that come, this world leader, it says he will confirm the covenant. In other words, the covenant's been already made, and it's made right now, but he will confirm that covenant to protect Israel. But of course, later he will go and make Jerusalem his capital and sit in the temple of God and claim that he is God and attempt to rule from there. It's interesting how the papacy has attempted to get control of the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is God's city, and it belongs to God, and it was given to the Jewish people, and it doesn't matter if the whole world says no to that. God says yes. It belongs to them, and it belongs to Almighty God. And Jesus Christ will rule from Mount Zion, which is the mountain that Jerusalem is built on, and he will rule this planet from Mount Zion as the king of the world. And all these things are beginning to add up, and so we see the world language that is being given here. And this government is being built up right now, and the socialists for many years have been attempting to work towards world government, and that is their goal, and they have these little agendas all the time. Right now, they want to teach something. I don't remember. Maybe, Pastor Al, you remember what that is called, this agenda that they're trying to teach in the public schools now.
There's Agenda 21 and Common Core.
Common Core, yeah. But they have this Agenda 21, Common Core. All this stuff is socialism, which is taking the government out of the hands of the people and putting in an elite group of people. And then eventually this tiny elite, headed up by the Antichrist, will rule this whole world. And some Christians, as you see this and you read the news, you're concerned about it. But we read in the Word of God in Psalms, the book of Psalms, that as this government is being set up, it will be set up against God. But as it's being set up, God's laughing at them. He says, why did the heathen rage and the people, the heathen, the Gentiles, the people, the Jews, imagine a vain thing and take counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let's get rid of Christ. And they're trying to do that today. They have the ACLU and many government leadership to get him out. And it says that in the book of Psalms, they say, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. And it says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. That is, God's laughing at him. And the reason he's laughing is because when they get this government set up, if you ever played a game of chess, the end of the game is when you trap the other side's queen and you say checkmate or king. You trap his king, he can't move anymore, and you say checkmate. It always, I think of that, because when the government is set up and they get total control of the world with all their modern technology and get control of the religion, the trade, the military, everything, the police, and everything in the whole world, God just says checkmate, and Jesus comes back and takes it over. And God's laughing at them right now as they're setting up, and that's our position as Christians. We can laugh at them because there's been many governments that set themselves against God, and God lets them get big for a while, and then as they he puts a pricks their balloon, you know, and the whole thing collapses. And he's done it many times, like he did it to Pharaoh, he did it to Hitler, he did it to the communist empire in Russia, and he can do it anytime he wants. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, upholdeth all things by the word of his power. The whole universe is controlled by the word of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our God. And he'll let some other a small fry get puffed up for a little while. And when they get puffed up like Pharaoh and like a lot of other groups, he just laughs at them, because when his time is up, He just says, okay, checkmate, and down they come. And so Jesus rules. I think about in Russia where the communists controlled the police and they controlled the schools and they controlled the news media and they controlled television and they controlled everything. They had, Stalin had 20 million people in prison in the Soviet Union. And it just looked like they were gaining and gaining country after country after country. And then God says, time's up. And they were atheists, promoted atheism all over the world. And God said, time's up. And so the whole thing collapsed. Yeltsin takes over, and he gets on in front of the media, and he says, this Christmas we will celebrate the birth of the Savior. And it's just one thing. Somebody was said they were afraid about the Muslims. You know, I said, I have no question in my mind that we win. Because time after time after time, when somebody gets big, Jesus takes them down. And he is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem, Israel. And what a wonderful thought that is, that the world is going to be ruled by Christ, and every problem this world has ever known will be instantly solved. And at that time, I believe everybody on the planet that's sick will be instantly healed. Here's somebody that's dying in a hospital, and suddenly the heart has stopped, and all of a sudden they sit up, and doctors check them, and they're perfectly well. And all over the world, they're getting up out of their beds and walking. And in the deserts of the world, suddenly a Arab is sitting in his tent there, and a Bedouin is sitting in his tent, and suddenly he realizes his pants are wet, and he looks around, water's flowing through his tent, looks out the tent, and the whole desert that's nothing but sand is suddenly blossoming like a rose. And every problem is solved, and Jesus Christ is coming back. And in the book of Isaiah, it talks about the way the world is going to be when Christ comes back. And he will rule with the rod of iron. Anybody that swears their house is going to be destroyed. Anybody that steals their house will be destroyed. And Jesus will rule with the rod of iron. But the first time this world will have peace, we sing a song about it. I'm going to lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside. And the Bible teaches that we that are born again and saved will come back with him and rule and reign over this planet. And it says that, you know, you being mocked today by people and persecuted, the book of Revelation says that one day when Jesus comes back, that they will be forced to kneel down at your feet and worship at your feet. Jesus says, worship you. And it says that in the King James Bible, they're going to have to say you were right all along and you lived a godly life. And I want to tell you something else too. If you're standing for Jesus Christ right now, if you're standing for him, Jesus said, he that confesses me before men, I'll confess before my Father which is in heaven. And I'll tell you, they put you to death, the next second you'll be in heaven. And one day, the God of this universe, the all-powerful one that holds the universe together and rules the stars, he will call your name and take you before God the Father and say, this man, and give his name in front of the holy angels in heaven, has stood for me, and he has been my faithful witness. I have a book at home called The Martyr's Mirror, and it gives the history of Bible-believing Baptists from the time of Jesus Christ. That is, people that believed in the New Testament, didn't believe in any other religion, believed in the Word of God, and they had the true text all the way through. And in the Martyr's Mirror, many of them were killed for Christ. And it tells their story, and they refused to recant. They said, I'll follow Jesus no matter what. And they were taken out, and their heads were cut off, and they were killed and by the hundreds and even thousands. But it talks about the day of their victory has come. And in other words, when they were martyred for Christ, it says that was their victory. Nothing could stop them from confessing Christ. And it tells the stories of people that because they believed the Bible and they had the true word of God all the way through the ages, and it was a text that was equal to the King James Bible. And it says they were taken to be burned at the stake. And as they were taken out to be burned, the Holy Spirit of God so filled them with joy and peace that they went out praising God and singing praises to God as they were taken out to the stake and burned. And the last words that they were saying were praising God as they were being burned alive. And I tell you, God is real, and the Holy Spirit of God is real. And he is here to help us today. And Paul said in jail, after being beaten up and put in a dungeon, all he could say was, "Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And I tell you, we have the victory in Jesus Christ. If they take off your head like they're doing today, and I know many Christians are dying for Jesus right now, but I tell you, 1 second later, you will be in heaven more alive than you've ever been. And Jesus will introduce you to the Father before all those angels and say, "This is my faithful witness." And your name will be in the book of life, and it'll be eternal joy forever and ever and ever. Man, I tell you, if that doesn't make you happy and make you shout and thrill you, there's nothing that will. And you know, when you go to heaven, I want to say this, God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ came. And in Jerusalem, Israel, outside the gate of Jerusalem, Israel, outside the Damascus gate, behind the bus station in the Muslim cemetery, they had in the place of the skull, you could see the skull in the side of the hill. In that place, God himself took on a body, and he was punished for every sin we ever committed or ever will commit. And everyone, Jesus said, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Under no circumstance will I ever kick you out. You're as sure of heaven as if you've been there a million years." And Jesus said, "All that the Father gave me, I have lost none of them." Millions of people have been saved by simply saying to Jesus, believing, "I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior, the one that died for me." And when they did that, they were saved. Jesus says, "I've never lost a person. And we're as sure of heaven as if we've been there a million years." What a wonderful Savior we have. And Jesus said, "I'll never leave you." And he gives us the Holy Spirit. And so we thank God for this. Well, Preacher, I'm going to ask you to give your report on science in the Bible.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. And also, a little later on in the program, if you have a question and want to give us a call, you can call toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. The local number here in the Cleveland area is 216-901-0933. 216-901-0933. And if you've got a question for Bruce about the Bible or some of the things we're talking about today, we'll be taking calls here in a few minutes. And so if you want to call in, you can go ahead and do that. And Bruce said, he said he'd like me to address some things dealing with science and the Word of God. And I really believe that scientific facts and the Word of God help to authenticate the Bible as God's Word, that it was given to us. And many of these things are things that were unknowable at the time, or at least unknown at the time they were written, and yet there they are. And it certainly indicates that all Scripture came by inspiration of God. In Acts chapter 17, there's an interesting phrase here, and it starts in verse number 24. The Bible says, in Acts 17, starting verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." And then it says in verse 26, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." That's all one sentence, Acts chapter 17, verse 24 through 27. But that phrase there in verse number 26, talking about people that God created, it says that he hath made of one blood all nations of men. And what that tells us is that all nations of men, we're all created by God, and we're all related. Now, what's important to notice with that is that in this phrase, one blood, we speak of that as somebody who's related. We call them a blood relative, or their blood, meaning that we're related. We share the same ancestry. And that's the phrase that's being used here. And science has since proven that. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." And that's the same principle that we see here in Acts chapter 17, where it says that he's made of one blood all nations of men. And science has since proved this through the study of genetics. Let me give you an example here. In Nature magazine, and you can find them online at nature.com, there's an article that was posted on in August of 2016 called "Genetic Adam and Eve Did Not Live Too Far Apart in Time." So we have genetic Adam, and we have what's called mitochondrial Eve. And this is where it really gets interesting. Every single person has inside of your cells a little organelle called mitochondria, and that's kind of like the energy plant of your cell. And mitochondria, what most people don't realize, has its own unique DNA different from the DNA that's in the nucleus of the cell. And that DNA can only come from your mother. It does not come from your father. And they have done tests that indicate that every single human being on the planet, no matter where you live, no matter what your nationality, we all have descended from one woman. And just like the Bible says that Eve is the mother of all living and that God has made us of all blood, it shows that we've all descended from the same woman. Now, every man has in their cells a Y chromosome, and that's what makes men male, the Y chromosome. And they've also shown that every Y chromosome indicates that every man on the planet is descended from one father who they've called a genetic Adam. And for a while, they were trying to say genetic Adam and mitochondrial Eve lived far apart in history. But this article in Nature says, and this is how it opens, it says, "The book of Genesis puts Adam and Eve together in the Garden of Eden, but geneticist versions of the duo were thought to have lived tens of thousands of years apart. Now two major studies suggest that Y chromosome Adam and mitochondrial Eve may have lived around the same time after all." Isn't that amazing how science once again supports the Word of God? We're all descended from one man, Adam, and we're all descended from Eve, the mother of all living, and we're all of one blood. Isn't that amazing?
Amen. Thank you very much for that report. You know, I want to give this verse in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 6, talking about the Word of God, says that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is saying that we have one faith, one Lord, one baptism, but we're to glorify God with one mind and one mouth. But we're to speak the same thing. And so today, people are saying, well, the Bible is the Word of God, and yet when you say, which one? Then they say, well, you're not King James only, and that's a pejorative word, as if somehow or other that there's something wrong with that. Well, the Bible says right here we're with use one mind and one mouth. We're not supposed to have Bibles that disagree in thousands of places. Suppose you have a church and the pastors disagree and giving out conflicting orders. Or suppose you go to work and people are giving out conflicting orders at work. The idea that you have Bibles that disagree in thousands of places, this is crazy. And, you know, God has something to say about this. He says divers weights and measurements are an abomination in the sight of the Lord. And so God says, one mind, one mouth. And the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And in 1 Peter, it says, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And the one that the translation that keeps right on going, the King James Bible, the other ones come and go. 200 have come out since 1611. This one goes on, and it's attacked constantly. I was watching a Christian program on television, and once again, the guy said, it shouldn't read like this. He says the word logos should be preaching. Well, I've studied Greek. I never in my life ever heard the word logos translated as preaching. It's always translated as the word. And yet we have the preachers on there. You know, the devil says, yea, hath God said, when you promote, constantly correct the King James, why is it that they only correct the King James? Why don't they correct the other ones? The reason is because the King James is the authority of Almighty God. In the Old Testament, the Levites and the priests, they were the ones that kept the law. But now in the New Testament, in St. Peter, he says, by the Holy Spirit, we are a kingdom of priests. And God's people keep going back to this one translation. Why? It's sold or been printed in 5 billion copies. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of truth, Jesus said. He will guide you into all truth, not partial truth. And he will abide with you forever. And it's the Holy Spirit in God's people, God's priests, who are the whole body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that has borne witness to it, and he bears witness. And every generation, they come back to this one translation, while the rest of them come and go. Why? Because it is the Word of God. And the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Paul says he thanked God unceasingly, that when you received the word of God, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God. You know, with the few minutes we have left, if you want to give the number, you want to call in, and we'd be glad to talk to you. Whether you agree or disagree, you want to say something, we'd be glad you could speak to the world now.
All right, and we're going to be taking a break in just a couple minutes, and you can call 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number. 888-677-9673, or if you'd rather, in the local Cleveland, Ohio area, 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. And you can give a call and talk to Bruce if you've got a question or comment on what he's talking about today. Also, want to point out, you can always go to the website whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. Find out more about Bruce Musselman and his ministry and some other materials and things that are there at whereisgodsword.com.
All right, we're going to take a break now. Our engineer just informed me, so we'll be back in a few minutes.
What does a church have to do to become tax exempt? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
In the process of starting a church, and I was wondering, is it necessary for as far as giving and things like that?
Well, a church is automatically tax exempt as long as it's a legitimate church. It does what churches do. It has worship services and Bible teaching. It's automatically exempt, not under 501c3, which is for all other organizations, scientific, religious, and others, but under Section 508 of the Internal Revenue Code. So it's automatically exempt. Now, some churches choose to elect a 501c3 recognition, but you don't have to do that. It's Section 508 is the policy, is the law that allows churches to be automatically exempt from that kind of situation, so they don't have to do an additional 501c3 filing. But again, you should talk to your individual tax counsel on that.
Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deeper people. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Those words were first written by Richard Foster, and they ring true with me. And you've heard me say this before, superficiality is the curse of our age. I don't need more intelligence. I don't need more skills. I need depth. I need the kind of depth Job had. When the bottom dropped out of his life, he said, God knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Spend enough time hanging out with God, and you could be changed into gold. Now, that's deep.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
About some passages, and this program deals with where is God's Word, and we believe that we have it today. Now, it has also been translated, and I I'll point out to you that Jesus appeared in different forms. For instance, he appeared as a baby, appeared as a 12-year-old. 12-year-old, he appeared in the Transfiguration, on the Mount of Transfiguration, to Peter, James, and John. And so Christ is in his words. And these words are so closely associated with it. You know, I heard a fellow say in church one time, he says, well, you got to remember this is a translation. And basically what he was saying behind this is that, yeah, this is just man-made translation, and so it has errors in it, and therefore we, the intellectuals, can correct it. I disagree with this, because God said he would preserve his word. Sure, it's a translation, but God guided these people, and the people that translated the King James, if you ever study their life, they were the greatest students of language that the world has ever assembled. And they, instead of bragging about their scholarship, and they were very godly men, they said, we are poor instruments to make God's truth known. And so they were humble men. At the same time, they were very godly men. You ought to read about the translators. And we have a lot of their notes today that you can read in books as they were translating. But what they did when they translated, they had, for instance, the Nuremberg Polyglot. They had books like that in front of them. They had all these ancient Bibles, and this had about, I think, about 12 different translations in this Bible. And they would see how these words were translated, and then as they translated it into English, they would see how God used these translators. And today, it's almost a heresy in a lot of these schools. You know, a lot of Bible schools today are not teaching people how to preach the Word of God, but how to correct the Word of God. And I think that this is an abomination. That's what this program is about. And I'll tell you, if God ever raised up anything, he put this thing together. And when we were first invited to come on, and they said the station said they'd pay for the program, and then as time went on, it just went on till today. It is worldwide. And like I say, we just got 1,000 hits on the website, and from almost every country that you can imagine. We're finding getting new countries all the time. They're listening, but the Holy Spirit's behind this. Because God said, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, talking to the apostles. But then he said, he will abide with you forever, talking to all of us, and he will guide us into all truth. And when a preacher corrects the Word of God, that's an abomination. I am angry with these people doing this, and I think God is angry with it. And, you know, when they do it, they only correct the King James. Why? Because that's the authority. That's why they correct it. And it's God's authority. And, you know, when they correct it, they never give you any evidence. You remember that preacher? Did they ever tell you, you know, give you evidence? No, you're supposed to just believe them, drop your Holy Bible, believe what they say. And they never tell you what the correction is on. If they'd be honest, they'd say, now, this is the this correction is taken from the text of so-and-so, and there's dozens of Greek texts, and it's taken from the lexicon. There's Greek and English dictionaries, and there's a dozen of those, and many of them we know are put out by people that are not born again by any biblical standards. And many evangelicals, scholars, they're using this stuff because they're pseudo-scholars. You know, the church that supports this program, and Country Baptist, it's interesting because there's a lot of professors, college professors, go to that church, a number of them, and guys with a number of PhDs go there, and they are strong King James believers. You know, the Christian Creation Society and Henry Morrison, these are scholars, and they believe the King James is the Word of God. You know, what you have is pseudo-scholars, people that don't know what they're talking about, and somebody says scholarship and science. And when they say scholarship and science, they're like a herd of buffalo. They snort three times and run violently over the cliff. And they don't know what they're talking about. If these Bible correctors knew what they were talking about, they'd give the word. I heard a guy today, like I say, he said, well, this word means so-and-so. I never anytime everywhere heard that the word logos means preaching. It means the word. It's always translated the word that I have ever seen or heard or read any Greek text. And so what they're doing is they're transferring the authority to themselves. And they're on television and radio worldwide, and they're saying, sometimes they say, well, It's terrible about people not believing the Bible. And then they'll say, we believe the Bible. Every word is true. And then they correct it. Well, what Bible are they talking about? Like I say, there's many Greek texts. And there's many lexicons, you know, and Greek-English dictionaries. I'll say this again. They never say, you know, they're like Russell that started. I remember when JWs, Jehovah's Witness, used to come around, and they would say, the Greek says, you know. I tell them they were using the Pope's Bible put out by Constantine. And they used to be against strongly against the Catholic Church, but they were using the Catholic text, and it was right in the front of their Jehovah's Witness a textbook that they were using in their Bible. It said that the Pope's Vatican Bible. All these modern versions are based on the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, and anybody that studied textual history knows this. And then we have a group of people that belong to the Ostrich Club, and an ostrich, when they sense that there is danger coming, they dig a little hole, stick their head in the hole, and hide their head. And so they won't read anything different from what they've been taught in school. Do you realize that your teacher might have been wrong? Hey, the college I went to, they used the corrupt Greek text in my Greek class, and I began to investigate it. I read till I found out exactly where it came from. I read Kenyon from England. I read Ira Price from the University of Chicago, and they told me Nestle's Greek text came from the official Roman Catholic Clementine Vulgate put out by the Jesuits. And Geisler next recently wrote a book put out by the Jesuits, and it promotes the Vatican Bible put out by Constantine, a corrupt Bible. And that's what these modern versions are on. So there's people out there, you pseudo scholars, you never even check it out. And as I said, Country Baptist, if you live in Manaway, they have Bible believers there that are professors, guys that have numbers of PhDs. And they've investigated this subject for themselves. The Christian Creation Societies by Henry Morrison investigated. They're real scholars. And they see 99% of the ancient manuscripts back up the King James. And it's backed by the text that came down to us from the apostles called the Received Text. Now, if you'd like to call in, you disagree with this, or you want to say what you believe about the Bible. We're talking about the Bible. We're not going to talk about other subjects. We're talking about the Bible. Maybe you want to give that number once again.
Sure, Bruce. The toll-free number, if you want to call and talk to Bruce Musselman here, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Or locally, the Cleveland, Ohio number is 216-901-0933.
Thank you very much. Now, some of the writers, if you can read some of the ancient writers, like, for instance, you read Tyndale or Wycliffe, they said that the Bible, that the translation that they had was inspired. And today they teach in so many schools that it is not inspired. But I'll tell you what, Brother Al, you want to handle the callers?
We do have a caller calling in. It'll be just a moment before we can get to them.
All right. So if it's preserved, it's inspired. And today they use the language that they have the Word of God. Somebody will say, well, I have the Word of God is true. Every word is true. It's verbally inspired and so on. And the next minute they're correcting it. What are they talking about? The true Word of God, it says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. I have a King James Bible here. And I'm looking at it. It's been preserved by God, and it says it's perfect. We can look at the perfect law. It says we can handle the Word of God. It's something I'm holding in my hand right now. Not only that, it says the Word of God, I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's something that we have in us, that we have memorized. It's not something we don't have. It's not some ancient manuscripts that we've lost. It's something we have, and we have it in the King James. And I thank God there's more people that are preachers that have some influence today that are becoming believers. I mean, they really believe they got the Word of God today. I got a big God. If you don't believe you have the Word of God, you have a God that couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. I have a God named the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Go ahead and...
All right. We have a caller calling in. We have Tom calling in. And Tom, welcome to the program.
All right.
How are you?
Tom, go ahead.
Well, you had been talking earlier about the fact that these people going to seminary are, they're not necessarily being taught from the Bible, but about how to correct the Bible. But I used to know a priest at one time who, he's a younger guy, he's in his early 50s. And I remember when we talked about his going to seminary that he said they were never required to read the Bible. They were encouraged to, but they were never required. It was never a part of their curriculum at all.
Well, I thank you for that comment. You know, if he said that, that's true. And, you know, if it was, I'll tell you, I'm thinking possibly next week we may have a fellow that was studied for the priesthood on, who is a defender of the King James Bible, and he is a born-again Christian now and is a pastor of a church. So the Roman Church has, the history books say they follow Platonic philosophy, and it has deviated from the Word of God so much that they do not promote the Word of God like they should.
Well, the Word of God is the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's it, period. I mean, we know it's infallible. Yeah, I mean, you can say that it needs to be corrected, but, you know, my heart tells me that, you know, it is the Word of God, and it is infallible.
Well, I thank you for that, and you're a Bible believer, and that we want to encourage Bible believers, but we want to challenge some preachers that have been taught. I've taught for a place for years where they're teaching, they taught pastors, you know, and so I would read the books that they are taught in many schools. Now, there's schools, most of them are Bible institutes connected with independent Baptist churches where they teach the truth. But so many schools, they're teaching, it's just a mess. They don't even tell the people a lot of times where the text came from. Then when they teach them about something about textual history, it doesn't have a unified, simple thing that they can understand. And that's what we're talking about here. We are following the apostolic text that has come down. We can trace it. There's a book called In Awe of the Word by Gail Ripplinger, and there it traces the true text of the Word of God and from the time of the apostles to this time. And it's always been there, and we can trace it. And it ends up in the King James Bible.
What was the name of that again?
It's called In Awe of the Word.
In Awe of the Word. Okay, I got to find that.
And could you give the address again?
Right. If you go to the website, if you're online, you can go to whereisgodsword.com. There's a link to the book there at Authorized Version Publications or avpublications.com. And if you don't have access online, like I said, avpublications.com, you can find it. But if you don't have access to the internet, you can give a call at 276-251-1734. That's 276-251-1734.
You know,
okay. Thank you very much. I have to go now. I apologize, but I would love to stay on this discussion for a while longer, but I do have to go.
I thank you for calling in, and we appreciate every caller. If you disagree, call in. You know, this book, In Awe of the Word, I'm reading it right now. And I tell you, I don't think I've ever read a better piece of literature than this outside of the Bible. It just is amazing the way that God has given her the ability to write this book. It's about 600 or 700 pages. Okay, go ahead.
We've got another phone call here. Got a couple more. I don't know if we'll be able to get them all on, but Clarence is next.
Go ahead, Clarence.
Yes, hi. How are you? God bless. I'm a truck driver. I'm sitting here in my truck, and I couldn't even get out. Thank God I'm blessed to being next. Questions. First of all, I'm a man seeking the truth myself. I've studied Darwin and the other. Anyway, what I want to understand is why so many of these so-called popular doctors, bishops, they go to these seminaries and they come out, and I've heard one say on national TV, I got his doctor's degree now, throw away the King James, which I know that's a lie. Then you get these others reading all these different scriptures out of their Bibles on national TV, and I study myself. I'm like, wait a minute, that's false. They're taking away from the true Word of God. Thirdly, didn't God say whom he called, he qualified, he sanctified, he ordained? So my question, going to some of these seminaries, first of all, I do have enough knowledge to know that most of them do not believe in the Word of God and don't teach the true Bible. So is it necessary that you have to go to get that piece of paper? Because I believe, from my studying, God's Word is free.
Yes, that's right. I'm glad you brought that up. I'll tell you what. God did everything in the Bible through the local church.
Right.
And the very word church means an assembly, see? And so preachers should be trained through the local church. The guy that set up the seminary, it's no wonder that they teach that. It was a guy named Origen. He lived between 185 and 254. And Origen taught heathen philosophy, like Platonic philosophy. He was a Platonist. That and Plato says, I'm not good enough for heaven, not bad enough for hell. There must be an intermediate place. And so Origen introduced purgatory from Plato. And so the seminary idea was set up by Plato. And God said, he talked about philosophy as Greek foolishness, and he condemned philosophy. And yet these seminaries, they teach Origen's text, and they teach philosophy. Even evangelical seminaries, they teach philosophy. And God called it Greek foolishness.
And so, I thought so, because I'm going to have to tell you the truth. I'm a young pastor myself, and when I got shot up and died and came back to life, I know what he showed me. I know what he told me. My wife said, you just start going through that Bible and bringing forth the Word. And so, and my pastor said, you had a great transformation. And so it kind of, for me studying, I'm still a man seeking the truth, and I'm back to seeking the, what's called the first century church, because everything that I've experienced in all of the denominations and all this and that, I grew up thinking we had different gods. Why so many denominations talk about other denominations? And my God as well. So I'm so happy to hear you speak about the truth.
Well, now, bless your heart. I'm glad you called in, and I like to hear this, and I think it's an encouragement for other people. Jesus said, thy word is truth.
Thank you.
It says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's something we have. It's something we can handle. And James says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. And so God bless you for saying that.
Now, question, going to these seminars to me is just secondary information, but it's basically, most of all, it's not the truth. Because I tried to go to, I don't want to say a name, a certain seminary twice, and it's like the Lord said, I didn't tell you to go there.
Yeah, see, the Bible teaches Christ trained his own apostles, you know.
Thank you.
Paul trained his apostles, so preachers should be trained in a local church by other pastors.
Okay, thank you. You answered my question.
That is the biblical method. And when these schools become independent and they start teaching, Origen set up this independent thing, and he was kicked out of his church for what he was doing. And, you know, they praise Origen to the skies in some of these liberal schools, but he thought his opinions were as good as God, apparently, you know?
Yeah.
And so all these corrupt Bibles come from Origen. I mean, anybody knows that to study this subject, but the true texts were passed on by the true churches.
And this is why I'm careful about where I go. I had somebody say they wanted me to speak at their place of worship. First of all, I have an issue with saying, and that's, I mean, correct me, because I'm still a member. I'm a young man growing, seeking the truth. Now, I have an issue with people saying my church, because when I study the Bible, it says, upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, I know what they probably mean, but I don't want, like somebody told me, I had to sign a contract to speak at their church, and I said, I won't speak. I signed nowhere in the Bible. God told me I got to sign a contract to bring forth his word.
That's right. But, you know, I thank God for you. You know, you just keep up the good thing. And I tell you, there are Bible institutes that believe what we're preaching, you know, where they're trained, they're taught by preachers. And that's what I've been doing for the last 30 years. And
God bless you. I pray over you. I pray for your wealth, health, and support. And I thank God in these last days that we're getting, that's why he says, my little flock, we're getting bold soldiers like yourself. I always wanted to get on the airway and speak it, but he'll use somebody else. So I know you got other callers, and hey, bless you.
We got preachers all over our Bible believers. Believe me, there's thousands of them out there all around the world.
Okay. Now, I had a pad because I was writing your name down, and I didn't get your full name. Okay, I'm back in my truck. Okay. What was your name again?
My name is Bruce Musselman.
Okay, Bruce.
Musselman.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Say your last name slow.
Yeah.
What was it again?
Musselman.
Okay, if I can look you up, I would love to hear. Am I able to look you up and you speak over the computer?
Yeah, it's on the computer, isn't it?
Right. Whereisgodsword.com.
Yeah. And where is
God's Word? Where do you live?
I stay here in Cleveland.
I'm in Cleveland too.
Yeah.
But where?
I live on the west side of Cleveland near Denison Ridge area.
You can find some of that out at whereisgodsword.com too.
Yeah, it looks like we're coming to a close here. So thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate that call.
Thank God for the other speaker as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And what you said will be an encouragement to a lot of other people. But there's thousands of people out, preachers out there that are Bible believers. And so we thank God for you. All right. We're winding up the program. And we thank God, and you pray for us. We'll pray for you, and you have a wonderful day. And, if you want to have peace in your heart, read the book. That'll give you peace.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
The preceding program.